Hi again, Craig Wilkinson here. Dangerous but good podcast. I've said this many times and I'll say it many times over and over again. Every one of us is put on the face of the earth to make the world a better place. We all have a destiny. We all have a purpose. We all have gifts and talents that we bring to this world. And in order to make a difference, we have to have the power to do that. If we have no power to influence the world around us and the people around us, if we have no strength to impact the lives of those around us, we can't be any good. We may not be bad, but we can't be good. At best, we'll be neutral. At best, we'll be benign, passive, ineffective. Someone said like a dial tone, the old-fashioned dial tone, where you pick up the phone and all he hears, like the color beige, not very impactful, doesn't stand out. Every one of us needs to make a difference. Every one of us needs to leave this planet in a better place than what we found it. Every one of us needs to make sure that the people in our lives are better off because we are in their lives. And in order to do that, we need to have the strength, the power, the ability to have an influence. I define strength or power, and I use those words interchangeably, your strength, your power. I define that as the ability to impact the lives of those around you and the ability to impact the world. Now, we want to grow that power. We want to grow that strength. But we want to make sure that we use that power and use that strength only for good. Today, I want to talk about not so much how to become more dangerous or more powerful or more impactful, but how do we use whatever strength we have for good. In the weeks to come and episodes to come, we're going to talk a lot about how to grow your power, how to grow your personal power, how to grow your strength, your ability to impact the world. But today, I want to talk about one of the fundamentals of being good. Dangerous, but good. How do we be good? What is the underlying philosophy, the underlying principle, the underlying characteristic of the ability to be good? And for me, the word that stands out, the one word, the one principle, the one underlying factor is the word love. Now, love is a very interesting word. You know, I do a lot of work in corporations. And when you bring the word love to a boardroom, it kind of feels foreign. People are not used to that word. They're used to talking about bottom line, about performance, about drivenness. Leave your problems at home. Come to work and perform, perform, perform. So the word love is kind of foreign to boardrooms. The word love, as used in society, often refers to romantic love, romance. And then it morphs into sex and all those different things. But love permeates absolutely everything we do. It permeates everything we are. Love is necessary in everything we do and in every part of who we are as human beings. Love is necessary in the workplace. Love is necessary at home. Love is necessary in society. And in fact, love is the thing, the driving force. You know, some people say, there's a crazy statement that says, you know, love makes the world go round. Sex makes it spin. Not true. Love is fundamental to absolutely everything. Without love, there is no goodness. But what is this thing called love? For me, the greatest definition of love, and I'm going to read it to you now, and if you don't know where it comes from, I'll leave you to guess, but most of you will know where it comes from. This is the definition, and for me, it's the best. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. Love is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Wow. What a definition. Imagine if every man and woman lived by that definition of love. I tell you what, we'd live in paradise. We'd live in an absolutely beautiful world. Unfortunately, that's not the case. And unfortunately, in no time at all in the history of man and womankind has the world existed in such a state. But you know, we need to aspire to that. We need to drive for that. We need to drive for a society that's rooted in love and this kind of definition of love. Let's unpack that. Love is gracious. We're living in a world where there's not a whole lot of grace. There's a lot of polarization. There's a lot of cancel culture. There's a lot of unforgiveness. We don't really live in a world that is gracious. A gracious person understands that We all mess up. We all screw up. We all have mistakes. We all have a history and a past which is less than perfect. And we've all done things that are hurtful to others. We're all in the same boat. You know, love understands and graciousness understands that, but for the grace of God, there go I. And so when we see someone screw up, someone mess up, someone perform less than their best, we're gracious. We give them a break. We give them a break. We give ourselves a break and we give others a break. Love is gracious. Love builds up. It never tears down. You know, we've talked in past episodes around the power of the tongue, around how whenever you're in a relationship with someone else, you have the ability to make that person feel very good or very bad. We can tear them down, build them up. Love builds up. It's gracious. It would rather build someone up than tear someone down. It's very easy to tear down, to criticize, to be unjust, to be cruel. Very easy. But love never does that. Love builds up. Love is kind. Isn't that a beautiful word? Kind. Kind people. We live with kindness. We live so that we can make other people feel better about themselves. We're kind. A kind word. A kind act. There was a movement a while back called Random Acts of Kindness. And it's such a beautiful thing. You know, I had an experience with an Uber driver a while back, which absolutely left me in tears. I called an Uber, and the guy arrived late, and I was about to cancel the ride. And he arrived, and he looked so distressed. And he said to me, "Sir, do you mind if we convert this to a cash? I've got absolutely no petrol." And I could see the guy was in distress. He'd had a flat tire, and he just had a very bad day. Not many customers, and he literally had no petrol. So I said, "No problem." I think the ride was about 85 Rand, and I said, "Well, you know, here's 100. So we went to the first petrol station, and he stopped, and he filled up his tank. And he was so grateful. And then he took me to my destination. And I could just see that this guy had a rough day. The tire that was flat was lying in the boot of the car, and he was just distressed. So when we arrived at the destination, I began to think through the process. I thought, let me just give him a bit of a cash tip. And I was going through the figures in my mind. You know, let me maybe give him another 50 Rand. And then I thought, you know, I was feeling in a bit of an expansive mood. And I thought, well, why don't I make it 100? And then I thought, you know, let me just do something wild and give this guy 500 Rand. So we arrived at the destination, and I had just drawn money at the very garage where he filled up his tank. And I pulled out 500 Rand and I gave it to the guy. And he looked at me and he was totally stunned. And he looked at the 500 Rand, he looked at me, and he said, "Are you sure?" And I said, "Yeah." And, you know, I don't often do things like that. I mean, it's not like I'm that kind of guy that's just super generous. It was just maybe on the day feeling a bit wild. But the impact that it had on this man was phenomenal. And I walked off, and he was actually literally trembling, and he had tears in his eyes. And when I got to my destination and I went upstairs, I looked down where he had dropped me, and he had exited his car, and he was sitting on the pavement, and he had his chin in his fist like this, and I could see he was crying, and I teared up. Took me a while to get to my meeting, and it was just, maybe it was a God inspired moment, but it was just an act of random kindness. And if we can do that, you know, his experience of that day and my experience of that day was incredibly enhanced. That feeling stayed with me for weeks. I can still recall the incident today, and I'm sure to him, I never saw him again. It had a big impact. So kindness is such a beautiful thing. If we can be kind to each other, we can make such a difference to the world. So love is kind. Love is not jealous. You know, we live in a world where jealousy abounds, where someone does incredibly well. We look at them jealously. I remember a while back, one of our friends in our friendship group bought this brand new, beautiful, top-of-the-range Audi. And if you examine the feelings that you have inside about this, there's a combination of envy. I wish I had that. Damn, I wish he, you know. But if you really analyze it and you really analyze what love is, love would say, you know, I'm so grateful. I'm so delighted. I can share the joy of my friend's joy at getting that Audi instead of being jealous. Jealousy is such a negative emotion. It tears down. It polarizes. It creates bitterness and anger and resentment. But when you rejoice in someone else's good fortune, that's what love is. It It's not ever jealous. When someone else does well, we need to lift them up. We need to build them up. We need to encourage them in their journey of doing well, as opposed to tearing them down. There's that syndrome of when you put a bunch of crabs in a bucket and the crabs want to escape. Each individual crab could easily get out of the bucket. But because the other crabs pull them down, they never get out of the bucket. And we as a society need to not be like crabs. We need to help each other get out of the bucket, elevate ourselves, do better. Because when other people do well, they can bring us along with them. Love is simply not jealous. Love heals. Love heals. A lot of research has been done about this, is that people in a loving relationship literally heal faster after surgery, heal faster from injury than those who are not. Longevity. Studies have been longitudinal studies have been done that show that men and women in loving relationships actually live longer and healthier lives than those who are not. Love heals. There's an amazing story from Sudan many, many years ago. There was a real tragedy where a lot of parents that had children that they didn't want would dump their kids and just leave them to die. And this ministry started, it was an orphanage, where they would take in, without any questions asked, unwanted children. And in fact, they even had a little hatch that people could come and drop their kids and they'd be collected, no questions asked. But one of the strange things they found at this orphanage was that some of the kids that they took in, they fed them well, they clothed them, they were warm, they gave them everything they needed, but some of them were failing to thrive and some were actually getting sick and dying for no reason, or no reason that they could understand. And what they found was that these kids were dying or not thriving, these babies, because they weren't being touched and loved. And so they started a volunteer situation where volunteers used to come along to the orphanage and hold these young babies and caress them and just nurture them. And then they began to thrive. So love literally heals. It restores. Love is tough. Love, we think of love as some soppy thing that, you know, oh, he's so loving. He's just such a nice guy. No, no, no. Love is tough. Love has the tough conversations. Love sets boundaries. Love, when love sees someone straying off course, love has the courage to talk to that person and say, hey, dude, not okay. Don't do that. Love sets boundaries. If, you know, we've heard of the concept of tough love. We've heard of the concept of needing to be cruel to be kind. Love is able to have those tough conversations. Love is able to cut off support when you know that that support is just leading to the person behaving badly. Love in the situation where there's an addict would say, you know what, I love you, I care for you, but I'm not going to give you that money because I know you're going to spend that money wrongly. Love is tough. Love is not a weak thing. It's much easier to just turn a blind eye. It's much easier just to not have those tough conversations. But love doesn't do that. Love is able to be in your face, be honest and truthful, and make the tough calls. There's a beautiful story of healing. I had a guest on this show recently called Seth Mazibuko. And Seth Mazibuko heads up the Seth Mazibuko Foundation. And there was a story, many of you will know the story, of a terribly racist incident where an individual, I won't mention names, had made a very racist video, which was incredibly harmful and destructive. And he was actually convicted of this and sent to court, and the court ordered him to spend time with the Seth Mazibuko Foundation in order to, as an attempt to rehabilitate this guy. And the most incredible story unfolded. So this guy who'd been convicted of this racist act had to report to Seth, and Seth took him into Soweto, and he was involved in ministering to and helping a group of gogos in Soweto, making food for them, serving them. And the most incredible story unfolded because through the love of these elderly women in Soweto and the love that Seth showed this man, he completely turned his life around. There were tears, there was repentance. And when it came time for a report back to the court, these grandmothers and Seth actually recommended that he be shown clemency because such a transformation had taken place in his life through the love of these individuals. Now, if they had responded to his hatred with hatred, what would have happened? He would have hardened. He would have become worse. It would have been polarization. But love actually healed, redeemed, and restored the situation entirely. And it created a new human being. And it changed the lives of everybody involved. The power of love to heal and to restore and to redeem is just phenomenal. Now, love would not condone wrong. That's not love. Love calls out wrong. Love is honest and truthful. It calls out, says, hey, what you did was wrong. We're not going to condone it. We're not going to accept it. But what we are going to do is give you an opportunity for redemption. And that's what love does. Absolutely beautiful. Love never, ever abuses. Love never abuses. If you're in a relationship with someone and they are abusing you in any way, physically, mentally, psychologically, verbally, and they say, I love you so much, they're lying to you. They're lying to you. Love never abuses. Love would never harm someone that they purport to love. I've heard of relationships where men or abusers would say to their partner, I just love you so much and I get so jealous when you do that. I just have to respond with violence. That is not love. That's an absolute distortion of love. If someone loves you, they will never, ever abuse you. If they abuse you, they do not love you. They may have feelings for you. They may have passion for you. They may be jealous of you. They may have a whole bunch of different things that they think might be love, but it's not love. Love never, ever, ever abuses. Love never takes what's not is to take. Love never abuses its power. You think of politicians who abuse their constituency by taking from them, by diverting funds that should go to servicing the community. That's not a civil servant that loves his or her constituency. That's not love at all. A man loves a woman, gets married to her, and abuses her in any way whatsoever. He doesn't love her. He may want to love her. He may think he loves her, but he does not, because love is displayed in the action that he has towards her. Love thinks before speaking. And there's a beautiful list of things I'm going to read to you now that before you speak, you need to ask yourself these questions. Is what I'm about to say necessary? Does it serve a good purpose? Is it true and is it accurate? Or am I just repeating some gossip that I've heard somewhere? Is it kind and compassionate? What impact will what I have to say have on the person's feelings, the person's reputation? Is it relevant? Is it constructive? Does it build up? Would I say what I'm about to say to someone, would I say it directly to the face of the person that I'm talking about? What are my intentions? Why am I saying this? Am I saying it because I like a bit of juicy gossip? Or am I saying this truly because I want to build up and I want a good outcome to come from this? And finally, how would I feel if someone spoke about me like I'm about to speak about that person? Love thinks and considers before it speaks. Because love knows that words have a power to build up, a power to tear down, a power to wreck someone's reputation, or a power to build someone up. Love thinks before speaking. Love empathizes. Love empathizes. Love knows that everyone on planet Earth has a story, and that story is a sacred journey that person has endured. Love empathizes. Love looks at a homeless person and doesn't condemn them and judge them or think less of them. Love considers the fact, I wonder what that person's story is. I wonder where they come from. I wonder what happened to get them to the point where they are. Love would look at someone who's an addict and not judge and condemn and feel high and mighty, but love would look at the person and say, I wonder what brought that person to that position. And I wonder how I can help. I wonder how I can get involved. Now, love would not condone something that someone does that harms themselves and just chooses destructive behavior, but love would empathize. And love would, as I said earlier, love would say, but for the grace of God, there you go. I could be in that person's shoes. Love empathizes. I run programs for corporations and for men in high level in corporations. And one of the things we do is I get each man to tell their story. And it's the most beautiful thing because most people work in an organization. They work shoulder to shoulder with someone. They have colleagues for years and years and years, but they often don't know the story, the deep, intimate story, the struggles, the challenges, the hurts, the disappointments that person that they work with has gone through to get where they are. And we have a time where we tell our stories, and it's a sacred time. I tell people this is a holy, sacred space. And let's shut off our phones and let's just pay attention to each person's story. And I tell you, when we hear each man's story, the atmosphere in the room shifts palpably because it's a sacred, beautiful space. And people hear things about their colleagues that they never knew. And they see them in a different light because they suddenly hear what that person has been through to get where they are. And the image that they present is not necessarily what's gone inside. We present a brave face. When you go to work, what you see of each other is their best facade, their best front. But we need to know what's behind that. That story is sacred. Each of every one of us has a story. Love realizes that we are all human first. Before anything else, we're human beings. Before my ethnicity, my religion, my sexual orientation, my gender, before my nationality, before my political beliefs, before any of those things, and more important than any of those things, I'm a human being, and you're a human being. And love comes from the principle and the premise that we are human first, and our first and most important identity is humanity, and our greatest value is our humanity. It's not what you've done. It's not what you believe. It's your identity and your value as a human being. And that every single human being is worthy of equal respect and worthy of equal opportunity and is of equal value to you and I. And that's the premise that love comes from. Love forgives. There's a beautiful statement by Mahatma Gandhi. And he says, "The weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong." Mahatma Gandhi, what a great man he was. He brought the British Empire to his knees, to its knees. What a great man. He brought about such incredible social transformation. But he knew the power of forgiveness. When Nelson Mandela came out of prison, one of the journalists asked him, "Are you not angry and bitter for all these years of your life that have been stolen?" And he said the most profound thing. He said, "You know, I've been in jail for 27 years. If I come out bitter and angry and twisted, I will remain in jail. I want to be free." Love forgives. Love has the power to forgive. Not, as I always say, to condone what's wrong, not to justify bad behavior. It calls that out. It calls it for what it is, but it's able to let go because that sets itself free, sets the person free to be the most powerful force for good that they can possibly be. Love gives more than it takes. You know, you get two kinds of people in the world. You get the givers and the takers. You know, the takers, there are many of them. They take from you. They're very quick to take whatever you're willing to give. When it comes time to giving, they're out at a restaurant. If you want to pay the bill, they're willing to do that, but they never reach for their pocket. You know, they come to your house. They drink your beer. They eat your food. They leave the house in a mess. Those are the takers. They borrow your car. It comes back empty and dirty. Those are the takers. Then you get the givers. The guy that'll borrow your car, it'll come back clean with a full tank of petrol. But that's a giver. That person is giving more than he or she is taking. And love is a net giver. Love gives more than it takes. It makes the world a better place. It leaves everything, every place, every person better off than when they found them. That's true love. It gives more than it takes. Love loves self. That sounds a bit strange, but it's very difficult to love other people if you don't have a healthy love and respect for yourself. Love cares for itself. Love sets boundaries for itself. Love never allows itself to be abused. Love cares for itself physically, spiritually, emotionally, in every way. Love makes sure that it is okay, that he or she is okay, because only when you're healthy, mentally, physically, spiritually, are you able to love others. There's that old syndrome of when you're flying in an aircraft and if it loses elevation or loses oxygen in the cabin, a mask falls from the top and you have to put the mask over your face so that you can breathe. And the instruction always is make sure you put your mask on first so that you can breathe, and only when you're able to breathe are you then able to help others. Love knows that it needs to look after itself, because only when it is in a good shape, he or she is in a good shape, is it able to care for and love others. Love sets boundaries. Love sets boundaries. Love doesn't allow itself to be abused. Love is very clear about what's okay and what's not okay for me and for others. Love sets boundaries. As I said before, love is not a soft thing. Love is a tough thing. Love is a strong thing. Love is a clear thing. Finally, love tells the truth. And we're going to go into a lot more depth in terms of truth. But truth is a very interesting thing. Love is not afraid to tell the truth. In fact, love tells the truth all the time, because only when we tell the truth can we walk in the light and can we truly be free. We have a concept today of my truth. And I think I've spoken in earlier episodes, there's no such thing as my truth. There's my experience, absolutely. And my experience is valid and is worthy of respect. And your experience is valid. But our experience is only the truth to the extent that it aligns with the truth. And I'll give you an example. A friend of mine not long ago went on a holiday to Australia. And he booked in a place. And the first day in Australia, he went for this walk at night. And he got mugged. And it was so traumatic that he left the country and he came back to South Africa. Now, his truth is he experienced violence in Australia. That's his experience. But if he had to say that Australia is a violent place, it would not be the truth. Because Australia is one of the safest places in the world. It was a very unusual incident that occurred that he actually got mugged. Now, if he said that my experience, my truth is the truth, he wouldn't be honest. He wouldn't be true. His experience was his experience, valid, real, and tragic, but it didn't align to the truth, which is Australia is a very safe space. So we've got to be very careful about making our experiences or our truth the truth. Our truth is only the truth in as far as it aligns to the truth. And so love and truth are twins. Love and truth are the foundation of what goodness is. And we as individuals need to be very passionate about seeking the truth. You know, they say we live in an echo chamber, which means we stay in a place where we hear what we believe to be true, whatever confirms our biases. And social media is geared to with algorithms to feed us what confirms with what we already believe. And so to be true truth seekers, we need to make sure that we get out of our echo chamber, that we listen to opposing views, that we're able to listen to people who disagree with us. I said in an earlier episode too that truly great men and women are able to see the truth wherever it may be found, and also to see the error wherever it may be found. I might have a brother who is wrong, and I must be able to call out the wrongness. I might have someone who I perceive to be an enemy or someone in a different camp, and they're speaking the truth. I must be able to say, well, you know what? That person's saying is actually true. I don't like it, but it's true. Voltaire, I think, said that we must be people that are able to say, I hate what you're saying, but I'll defend with my life your right to say it. Really seeking truth is my right to say what you don't like me to hear, and it's your right to say what I don't like to hear. So truth is absolutely crucial to love. And, you know, if we can live our lives based on love and truth, we're going to be powerful forces for good. We're going to talk in future episodes about how to build our power, how to build our strength, how to build our ability to impact the world. But if we base it on love and we base it on truth, we are going to be a powerful force for good in this world. I want to end on what Martin Luther King said. Martin Luther King Jr., he said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. We're talking about being dangerous to the danger. Hate is one of the greatest dangers to this world. Hate causes war, conflict, murder, corruption. Hate causes so much. And the greatest antidote to hate is love. And so let me end on this note. Pursue love and pursue truth. Base your life on love. Base your life on kindness, on graciousness, on goodness, on seeing the best in others, in being a person that walks lovingly and makes sure that everyone in your circle, everyone you come in contact, is better off because you're in your life. And pursue truth. Be bold in pursuing truth. Be open to opinions that differ from your own. And be bold in speaking the truth. It's very difficult to speak the truth these days because it's very easy to get canceled. But here's my exhortation to you. Here's my encouragement to you. Here's my challenge to you. Pursue love. Live by love. And live by truth. Because if we all do that, we will live in paradise. We will live in peace. We will create a beautiful future for absolutely everybody. So go out there and be dangerous, grow your power, and be good. Have an impact on the world. Craig Wilkinson, Dangerous But Good.